so good in all my life. And it's kind of amazing that God has a lot of things going on. And first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to shut this one off for the moment. I think I got it. In looking at what we're doing this morning, we're going into a series. We're going to do two things this morning. Number one, we're going to enter into a series on the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Number two, we're going to have an opportunity for people to join in with a covenant at the church. What we began in January and we were to conclude in March, I think there were other plans. In fact, what you're looking at the screen right there is from the ninth floor of the Halifax Hospital, the rehab center. And it was biker week. And so they had races over at the Daytona National Speedway. So I went out at night to Walmart and I bought me a pair of binoculars. And so I got to at least see some of the racing that was going on up there. And you can say, man, that was good. Well, my wife was laying in the bed with a broken leg, and you say, that was bad. Well, during that time, I was getting 3 square meals a day, and you say, that was good. But then I had to go out and wash clothes on the weekend, and you say, oh, that was bad. Well, you know, whatever situation you might come into, God's got a plan. And it's so exciting to see what God is doing. But while I was up there looking out, every morning we'd get to see the sunrise. In fact, some of the other scenes that's going to come up, you'll see the sunrise of one of the places that we stayed in here. God is at work. And while we were up there enjoying life, there was some discussion that was going on here at the church. And one of the things that I got hit with when I came back regarding the discussion of the church was, what about the second coming? And folks, that just kind of lighted my fire. Because for about 4 or 5 weeks, that's what I'd been studying while I was away, was on the second coming of Jesus Christ. When you begin to look at the element of the second coming of Jesus Christ, it's something that really kind of involves us. And so for just for a few minutes here, I'd like to engage your thoughts. Today we're just trying to build a groundwork. Because during this period of time, we're going to go into some deep stuff. But one of the guys, Brantley, walked up to me, says, now I've asked Michael and I've asked, when is Jesus Christ coming back? Was that the question? I believe that was right. When is Jesus Christ coming back? Have you ever asked that question? Yeah. When is Jesus Christ coming back? If you ask that question, you ask the same question of the disciples of Jesus Christ. They asked the same question. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 6, I want to lay the groundwork out of this verse right here. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 6, and when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? See what was on their mind? For thousands of years, this same question was coming up. You're going to discover the Old Testament has far more to say about the second coming of the Lord than the first coming. And we're going to begin to look at some of these verses, and we're going to grab hold of some stuff. And so he's saying to us, Lord, at this time, are you going to restore Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs, or King James would say the times or the seasons, which the Father has fixed in your own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even the remotest parts of the earth. You shall be my witnesses. So what we are capturing right here, we're beginning to capture that God wants us thinking about the second coming. He wants us to know about the second coming, but he doesn't give us the date. Jesus said, that's only left up to the Father. That's in His authority. So is this for us today? Let me just kind of illustrate this. You're just one step away. You are just one step away. On the second story, days in, Ormond Beach, dimly lit, floor stepped out, fell 12 inches, broke her leg. One step away. You are just one step away from your life being changed. You really are. For us, you could say it was bittersweet. We enjoyed it even in the course, and I'll tell more about that later. But you're one step away. This could be the very day that the Lord Jesus comes back. You're one step away. Some of you are one step away from getting your heart right with God, knowing that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven. Some of you are one step away from saying, I want to walk with Jesus, lock, stock, and barrel. Some of you are saying, hey, I want to join up with this body of believers. I want to sign a covenant. I want to be a part of this church family. You're just one step away. And we're going to give you some of those opportunities, but as we begin to think about one step away, why do we need to focus on the second coming? If you want to focus on one of the reasons why, because of the persecution that's going on in the world. Did you know that the number one persecution for Christians today is in North China? In North China, Christianity is considered the number one enemy. In fact, when I was reading behind this morning, it's illegal for Christianity. And if somebody catches you, they can persecute you, even kill you, and they can reach out to the fourth generation. Now, you just think about this. If you're a grandfather, your children, your children's children, fourth generation, they can reach out. Public enemy number one, and that's who we're trying to do business with. Donald Trump's trying to do business with Korea. Second coming, what are we dealing with? Atheistic society and Kim's dynasty? But what's the public enemy number one in the United States? It's abortion. More people are killed in the United States as a result of abortion than any other method. And so you could say, just think about that. It was in 2018, there were so many people that were, it was 332,757 people killed in 2018. So I would say, does the Lord Jesus need to come back now? Is the scene set worldwide? Yes. In America? Yes. So therefore, we're looking at the second coming of Jesus Christ. We need it, and we need Him now. Now, why do we need to talk about the second coming? Because, number one, when you think about this topic, it is the preeminent. It's the number one thing that's on so many people's mind. The Scripture even talks about it like this. One out of every 30 verses in the Bible gives reference to the coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus. One out of every 30 verses. To every one mention of the first coming, the second coming is mentioned 8 times. So, looking at that, you find whole books such as 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians written about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. You find chapters such as Matthew 24 and Mark 13. You find themes such as found in 1 Peter 1:11. Jesus Christ bore the testimony about the second coming when He started talking about the temple being destroyed in Jerusalem. And He was bringing forth what was coming into the future. The angels testified it. But what about you? What is your greatest hope? Your greatest hope is going to be found in Jesus Christ coming again. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I was talking with a lady from the Philippines. She was 10 years in construction in the Philippines. when her husband brought her over to the United States, she said that she had to learn another trade, so she went to nursing. And she said, it was so amazing. I found that I have a passion toward nursing. And when I was talking to her about this, I've talked about God. And she said, why? It says, I live right, so, and I'm coming from a Roman Catholic background, and I live right, so God doesn't punish me. And I said, what? Yeah. I said, looking at the Ten Commandments, but did you know that every one of the Ten Commandments, there's a negative and a positive? For instance, thou shalt not kill means what? Let live. Thou shalt not bear false witness means what? Tell the truth. Don't lie. Thou shalt not kill, live. Thou shalt not steal means work for what? See, there's a positive. And she never grasped that till then. So when you're thinking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus, what is going to keep you walking the straight line? One thing you understand, if Jesus Christ is coming, you got to face Him. And so people can say, well, I can get away. I just at the last minute, I'm going to flip over. That don't happen that way. You're one step away from your flipper being changed. It was kind of like with me. Confession's good for the soul. First Sunday we were out, I got up kind of late and I didn't know what church to go to. And so Floor and I didn't go to church that Sunday. And the next Sunday morning, well, we went on Wednesday night, but then the next Sunday morning we couldn't. I didn't make the effort. I'm honest with you. Then I wanted to go to church. Well, we were in the hospital. I couldn't go to church. My point is, we go to church when we're on vacation, but my point is, I didn't. And then it was taken away from me. You see, when you're trying to live your life, you want to make sure that you're living right, because one step can take you away from doing what you want to do. Luke says it, Matthew in Luke 21, 34 says, and take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this world, so that the day come upon you as unawares. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. What? Luke tells us, take heed. I'm glad Jesus didn't come first 2 weeks of March, because he'd said, boy, where were you? And I'd say, I was eating breakfast. I didn't want to face Jesus like that. You know what I mean? And so, therefore, in looking at this, one of the greatest incentives for living for Christ constantly is knowing that at any moment the trumpet can sound and you're going to face Him. And it's also a great doctrine. The second coming is a great doctrine about comfort. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. In other words, the second coming, when we're going to be raptured, we can tell, hey, are you suffering now? Hey, one step away, one trumpet sound, and it's over with. And we can move on to glory. That's going to be good. Betty's not going to have to get any more shots in the back because of her pain. That's going to be good. And we're not going to have to face cancer anymore. We're just one step away. And it could happen any moment. So therefore, let's comfort one. Well, why do you suppose people don't concentrate on the promises of the Scripture? Why do you suppose people don't think about the greatest hope, or the doctrine that would help you live so consistent in your life so that you'd walk straight and talk straight? Why is it that we don't accept that great comfort of the second coming and let it be a major part of our life? I can give you four quick reasons on this. Number one is the unreadiness of the church. If I were to say to us, church, are we ready for Jesus Christ to come back today? We would say, that's what she'd say. And think about this, but is the church ready? Are we ready for Jesus? Or is this the year of the church in which the Lord Jesus wants us to do something so fantastic that then we could say, Lord, we're ready. Come on, Jesus. Come on. Secondly, preconceived views. Because you see, a lot of people have these ideas about the coming of the Lord. He's not coming right now. He hasn't been coming for 6,000 years. Why do I expect Jesus Christ to come back this year? So I just go on and do what I want to do. As in the day of Noah, man, giving and marriage, just going and working. And thirdly, extravagant predictions. How many predictions have you heard in your lifetime Jesus Christ is coming back on this given date? Well, for all you old folks like Troy, you go back to World War I. In World War I, they wrote books in which said, hey, when this happened, this is the preeminent, this is the coming of the Lord. Well, when that didn't happen, 40 years later, when you go back to World War II, in World War II, they started writing books that say, hey, because of this, Jesus Christ is coming back. Second coming is now. And then when we see, all of a sudden in 1948, when Israel became a state, then all of a sudden the books begin to say, hey, look, he's coming back. And one writer that we know of, like Tim LaHaye, he's coming back in 1988. He's coming back. Well, he didn't. It wasn't Tim, but it was another guy. And then he said, well, he didn't come back in 88. He said, oh, I missed a year. He's coming back in 1989 and tried to sell his books on that. How many times have you tried to wrestle with and say, man, I got it down. I got it down. I know when Jesus Christ is coming back. But he hasn't. And why? That's because this is in the Father's hand. Now let's kind of capture this real quick right here. The second coming of Christ is surrounded by mystery. It really is. In fact, I'm oftentimes told if you want to draw a crowd, preach on the second coming or the book of Revelation. And you can draw a crowd like that. Well, so in thinking along this, though, but it is surrounded by mystery. That's the reason why the disciples said, as we read earlier, hey, Jesus, is now the time you're coming back and you're going to establish Israel? No, it's not now. But are we going to know the mystery? Are we going to have understanding? So many questions that you have. Is he going to reveal this? The answer is yes. In Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants, the prophets. You see, that day's coming. The mystery is going to be revealed. We will know, we will understand, and we'll have meanings. Wrapped up in this mystery, though, is why did God allow evil? Why do so many evil people prosper? And it seems like they've got no problems. But why? Why are we having to face sin, sorrow, and suffering? Why are we having to face death? Why are we having to face the presence of evil? Why, God, did you allow this? That's part of the mystery. And then he's going to remove it. That's the why and the when. This veil is going to be removed in the consummation, the coming of the Lord Jesus. And then he's going to give us the what? The what? The tears and the heartaches, the sin and the suffering. All of these things are going to be moving away. Now, what we're going to try to accomplish in the next few weeks is we're going to try to remove some of these veils away. And we're going to try to discover much of the mystery that God has revealed to the prophets so that we can understand these things. We're going to be talking about the second coming. Now, just to kind of give you a break, sometimes, you know, when we're talking, you need just to say, whew, you need to wake up and everybody's doing good. He's awake, Don, just to let you know that. Okay. And you need to kind of break off and say, I want you to see that picture in the background. That's on Lake Hampton. In Stark, Florida. Lady, I used to go to our church there. That's where we stayed for bed and breakfast. And you know, when I look across that lake and I think about how good God is, my mind can just wander. And y'all can just get that picture, but I see the real deal. And I wonder what it's going to be like when Jesus comes. He comes in glory, and we're going to see Him. Let's see if we can kind of address five areas in the next few weeks. Area number one, these curtains that are going to pull back. The first curtain is going to be, the second coming is addressed more than the first. We're going to be talking about that because in this prophecy, we're going to see the second coming supersedes the first, not in value, just in volume. And we're going to see why then is God speaking so much. In fact, if one out of eight, so much He's talking about the second coming so we can get ready. Secondly, God is active in the affairs of man today. Do you honestly believe God is active today? Yeah, I do. If I had my cell phone here, I'd read it to you. Over in Nigeria, Muslims lined up, found some Christian men, gunned them down. They told the women, said the next day, we will allow your children to live if you renounce Christianity and you give your allegiance to Muhammad. These women who just lost their husbands said no. And they lined up the children on a wall, ready to pull the trigger. And as they began to take aim, all of a sudden, these guys dropped their weapons and they started to run and they started hollering the word, snakes! And they took off running. And one of the boys was asked, they asked the children, said, well, why did these guys take off running? And he said, didn't you see all those soldiers that were surrounding us? Let me tell you something. Nigeria, March. God is active in the affairs of men today. That's the reason we need to look at these veils and begin to see what He's doing. Number three curtain is the nation of Israel remains the front and center in covenant and love and critical warning and concluding salvation. In fact, I read just this morning, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told Israel's Channel 12 that if he's elected, he is going to annex the Jewish settlements in the biblical Judea and Samaria, the West Bank. This is now the home of 400,000 Israelis. God at work. Israel? Absolutely. And then we're going to go to the end of times and we're going to begin to close out with blood and violence and tears and tragedy and darkness and fear. We're going to address these things because these things are reality. And then we're going to remove and we're going to go in and we're going to see the next. Hey, do we need this? I read a report this morning on the United States. Does anybody know how many murders occurred in 2017? Anybody want to guess? I've been a good guess, but it's reported there were 17,284 murders in the United States. 17,000 here at home. So it's dangerous. But curtain number five we want to look at is the victory in Jesus Christ. The victory in Jesus is going to herald about a new heaven and a new earth with a resurrected humanity. And this resurrected humanity is going to have prospect and going to have promise. And we are going to have a body that's going to be like Jesus. And you can say, is God still active in working the victory out of almost so much murder and carnage? Yeah. Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke's ministry, Christ for All Nations, says 845,875 Nigerians accepted Jesus Christ during His final farewell crusade. That number blows me away. 845,874. During that week, it was drawing 1.7 million to the evangelistic meetings. And he said that the evangelists helped win 75 million souls for Christ over his about 40 years of preaching, 30, 40 years of preaching. Now, we don't get to hear that. We hear the other side. But just think about this veil when it is removed away and you can see it. Now, kind of drawing down what we want to accomplish this morning is that there is a resurgence. I was watching on YouTube some Christian movies when I was in the hospital. And one of the nurses came in and she said, "Oh, you got to see it. This movie, what was it?" And she went on and she came back and said, "Left Behind." Now, Left Behind's on Prime right now, okay. But Left Behind is about the second come. It's about the rapture and about the 7 years of tribulation. But she was so excited. Now, for me, I came over with Noah on the ark. And I remember when Tim LaHaye was writing those books, the Left Behind series, and I can remember that. But to see her face so excited, and she when she said, "Now, when Monday, when I come back, I'm going to ask you about the movie." She got so excited. So I watched the movie again. I watched it again for the first time. I don't know if y'all ever do that. And I could see the excitement. What's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes back? Now, if we're normal in this group, there's going to be four different groups here. And I'm going to kind of conclude this section of the service this morning. There's four different groups here. Group number one is going to be believers who are going to hear the word and going to misapply it. For instance, found in John chapter 21, verse 20 through 23, Peter, turning around, saw the disciples with whom loved Jesus following them, the one who had leaned on his back on his bosom at supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who's going to betray you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Now, Jesus just got through telling Simon Peter, "Simon, feed my sheep." Three times he asked him, "Do you love me?" And then told him, "Feed my sheep, tend my sheep, care for my sheep." And then he told him, "When you get old, you're going to be led away by people you don't want to lead you." In other words, you're going to die. And they're going to lead you to a point of execution. He turns around and he sees John. He says, "Jesus, what about this guy?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Now, what would you say about that? If I want him to remain, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Now, you know what the disciples said? The scripture says, the disciples said, Jesus told John that he's not going to die until the kingdom of Israel is established. That's what was told. They heard the same words from Jesus. That's what was told, but John wrote it this way. He said, "Therefore, this saying went out among the brethren that the disciples would not die. Yet, Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" They took Jesus' words out of context. When we're studying through this, it's going to be very important for us to say, what did Jesus say? Number two, there's going to be those, if we're normal, there's going to be those who are going to deny the truth. They're going to deny, and denying the mystery is going to lead to disaster, because when truth is denied, what happens is familiarity breeds complacency. I one time heard about a guy who said, "You know, the number one problem in college today is apathy." And another college kid said, "Who cares?" The very meaning. And you know what? I wonder if the number one problem in the churches today, apathy about the second coming. Here's what the scripture says. 2 Peter 3:3. Through 9 says, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continued just as it had been from the beginning of creation. But when they maintain this, It escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of the water and by water, and through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by His word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let us one fact escape our notice. Beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But why is Jesus not coming back? Let me just give you a little phrase here. The Lord is not slack about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Why is the Lord holding back? It's for people to be saved. People to be saved. Number three. A knowledge of the mystery misapplied leads to unacceptable behavior. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, you're going to find this text talks about a group of people in the church. They were so excited about the second coming of the Lord. They believed that the Lord was coming back any day. They just quit working. Because why work? Because Jesus is coming back any day now. Paul got a hold to them and he said, "For we hear there are some among you who are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the name of the Lord Jesus to work in quiet fashion and to eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." In other words, these guys were so heavenly minded they were no earthly good. Paul said, "Get back to work. Jesus Christ is coming. Live the life for Christ." So don't take the truth that you're going to learn and abuse it. Number four, living on the edge of the mystery creates anticipation. In other words, truth applied. Truth applied. How is that? Brantley, what did you ask me? When is the Lord coming back? Truth applied. When is the Lord coming back? And Lotz, anybody recognize that name? That is Billy Graham's daughter. Billy Graham said that his daughter's the best preacher in the whole family. She made publicly comment that she believed that Jesus Christ is coming back in her lifetime. And we can say, "Whoa, wait a minute." But let me ask you a question. Do you believe Jesus Christ is coming back in your lifetime? Think about it. It's Jesus Christ. Are we living today? The Scripture says, "Lord, will this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" No, it's not for you to know. But I want you to go when you receive power and be my witnesses. And for those who desire to know the truth, in the next few weeks, you are going to come face up with it. Be important not to misinterpret. Be important not to deny. Be important not to abuse the glorious truth you're going to receive in here. But to take this truth and apply it. Apply it. When we do this, one of the major things for us to do over these next few weeks is grow together. Getting ready for the second coming. Hebrews, it says, "Do not forsake the assembling of thyself together as the manner of some is, but come together, encourage one another, because the time is short." Next slide. "And all the more as you see the day drawing near." How can we gather together? How can we band together? One of the ways that we can do this is by all of us being on the same page. We talk about church membership. We talk about coming together. For about 6 weeks, we were going through a church covenant. Now, we're going to give you the opportunity to come on the same page. in the church covenant. How are you going to do this? Well, first of all, I want you to know one person has already signed up this morning. I think the first one whose name's on here is Michael Shelton. Hey, I need some. Hey, Bill. Fred, where are you? Pass these out. And give everybody two. One to sign and one to keep. And you can say, well, I'm not ready to sign anything today. That's okay. It's okay. But I want you to consider what we are about to do here. If we need some more, I got some more right here. Inside of this is a new change in which we are receiving members, State Line Baptist Church. We want you to understand what it's about. And it's going to say on the back of this, it says, after reading the church covenant, to the best of my ability, I will seek to abide by the biblical principles as revealed in the covenant. In addition, I desire to join the church fellowship at State Line Baptist Church. And you might say, well, I'm already a member. That's okay. I encourage you to sign up. Because I think it is good for all of us to hold ourselves accountable to one another. And what we've studied here and what we've gone over and what we've read is now an opportunity. Do you have to do this? No, you don't. If you're already a member, do you have to sign this? No, you don't. But I do highly encourage you to, so that you be a part of the church covenant and this new renewal of the fellowship. And the reason why I'm asking them to give out two is one that you would sign and turn in and the other one keep, put in your Bible, so that this would help you. Well, as soon as we get one in everybody's hand, then we'll have a reading. And you might be a visitor with us today. Hey, look, we want you to read through it with us. Kind of get a feel. And is this what you'd like to do? Would you like to join this body of believers? Okay. Everybody got a copy now? On the back side of it, before we read through it, into the future, State Line Baptist Church received members by baptism, letter from another Baptist church, or by statement of faith. Such as, I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and desire to follow Him through baptism. Or you could check, I come by letter from another Baptist church and list that church. Or I come on statement of faith that I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and have been baptized by immersion. And you could check that one. And that's how we'll be receiving members into the church. So kind of a little different. You've gone through a new members class for about 6 weeks. And so we will address it like that. Hey, let's read this together.
Church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we do now in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of His church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the abuse and intoxicating drinks and drugs, to refrain from any form of pornography, to support the dignity of life, to uphold the institution of marriage as defined by Scripture, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word.
Jesus, during this very special moment, we know that the end is coming and we need to encourage one another. And Father, and one of the ways in which we can encourage one another, Lord, is by sharing. And yes, Lord, this is an object written by men, backed by Scripture. But Lord, it's a covenant that we want to make as individuals. We believe, Lord, that You want us to be a witness in this community. And Lord, we need help in how to carry that out, how to live that way. So Lord, let's take this covenant to heart, knowing it, understanding it, and to the very best of our ability to live it out. Lord, we will seek to make a difference in our community, in our family. Lord, You have given us a privilege here, and help us not to abuse that privilege. You've given us truth, and help us not to abuse that truth by not working in the kingdom. God, we've prayed about this hour, this moment. A new beginning for State Line Baptist. So many people who are worshiping here, Lord, have worshiped together for a long time. And yes, Lord, we're asking now for another step, a step of faith. Father, help us to impact. As long as we are here, until You come back, so that when the Father returns, help Him to find His people at State Line Baptist working for the kingdom. We know, God, in our hearts that You want us to do. And we're going to discover in these weeks to come, Lord, so many verses that encourage us to love one another and to walk in faith and to receive the blessings of God and the glory of God and the victory that is found in Jesus. So Father, on this side of the road, in this physical locale, 7560 Highway 182 East, Father, I pray for the anointing of Your Holy Spirit. Let this be holy ground. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a few moments. If you'd like to sign this, when we're standing for the invitation, I'm just going to ask you to lay it on the altar. Sign a copy, lay it on the altar, and then keep a copy in your Bible or wherever you like to, so that we can refer back to this quite often and see what God would have us do. Let's stand together, and we're going to sing.
Joseph, I am.
Stand. Israel, tossed about with me.